Dak Prescott had himself a Sunday.
This guy might be sucking.
The Cowboys quarterback finished 26 of 30, 269 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. Dak added another 69 rushing yards on 5 carries. Show me the money, says Dak Prescott somewhere at night when no one really is listening. Cowboys win on the road 31-21, and they move to 2-0. Here's Dak Prescott after another dominant win.
Just a hungry bunch of guys, great athletes that all care for one another, that are coming in, enjoying this time each and every day that we're putting into this offense, we're putting into this team.
What do you say to the people who still doubt whether Dak is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL?
They don't matter. All that matters is, you know, what we think in this locker room. And, you know, we all support each other, and we know Dak's one of the best quarterbacks in this league. And they can doubt all they want, and we'll keep proving them wrong.
CC, is that true? Is Dak Prescott right now one of the best quarterbacks in the league?
Well, this is the thing. What does that mean? Does that mean he's in the top 10? Does that mean, like,
how impressive has he been?
I mean, he's been outside Lamar. To me, he's been the second most improved quarterback that we've seen. And the reason why we're not as surprised, because he gave us that 8-game window last season that a lot of people were trying to discount. Oh, week number one. They're making excuses. Oh, it's the Giants and everything. Okay, week number two on the road in Washington. Oh, Washington's not. We can keep making excuses. But the kid has made the type of strides that we want guys to make. What's he doing? Firing the ball down the field. Yes, did they have a good effort from Zeke, and can they win without that? That's what we saw in last week's game. The things that I've seen in 2 weeks are things that are duplicatable. Spreading the ball around. Jarwin as a threat, tight end. 1 catch, over 20 yards, though. Anytime you can start getting that and the other complementary players, that shows me the sign. Amari Cooper didn't have that monster game, and Dak still looked great. You throw the ball 30 times and the ball's only on the ground 4 times, 26 of 30 in an NFL game, divisional game, I'm very impressed with Dak. Not only what he's seen before the games as being the team leader, how he addressed the media after the game, I love it. He is a franchise quarterback, and I'll tell you this because someone in Dallas told me this. He has unusual leadership skills. And we gave him credit. My man Colin is on top of that. We gave him credit for the first 3 years. Now take that with his ability to be able to throw the ball and lead his team. That's what we've seen the first 2 weeks, gentlemen.
See, you mentioned throw the ball 30 times, only 4 incompletions. Yeah, 26 of 30, 270 yards, a 123 rating. That's really, really good. But he was actually far better than that. The game started with 2 3 and outs and an interception for Dallas. On those 3 drives, he was 4 for 7. The rest of the game, he was Phil Simms in the Super Bowl. He was 22 of 23. That's 96% completions, a near perfect quarterback rating, 11 yards per pass, 3 touchdowns, and what I would say is no mistakes. Dallas, after those first 3 drives, their drives were 7 for 97, touchdown, 11 for 83, touchdown, 9 for 75, touchdown, 11 for 68, critical field goal at the time, 10 for 34, touchdown, and then 6 for 45, taking knees, game over. He was perfect after those first 3 drives. And those first 3 drives, you're right. I'm sitting there watching. I was like, this is why I was didn't want to anoint him after the week 1 game. You're 100% right.
I'm telling you, whatever Nick Wright thinks, go the other way.
You can read my mind from Baltimore. Because I said, look, like 3 and out. Then he throws a pick where he's laid across the middle, goes off Cobb's hands, intercepted. Then he's 3 and out again. I'm like, okay, everyone bought in Dak. It's about to be sold off a little bit in the second half of this game. The rest of the game, he played perfect.
Right.
And this is the exact blueprint for Dallas, by the way. They were great on 3rd down. They had 11 first downs rushing, 12 passing. Zeke was excellent. Dak spreading the ball around. Old man Witten got in the end zone again with a short little out route to the corner.
The only person he's going to average more yards in is you, gentlemen.
But he's also, averaging 1 touchdown a game. He's being the red zone
care.
Threat.
I don't care.
This was the exact blueprint for the Dallas Cowboys to be the best version of themselves. And it started with Dak, and then Zeke got going. And by the way, we didn't even mention, Dak also had a nice little 40-yard run where he looked to be hunting down Josh Norman, who talked a little trash before the game. Dak was sensational for the second straight week.
2 weeks, 2 wins. Zeke's in the lineup, healthy. Dak is playing great.
Bad news for them, though.
Coming up.
They got Miami next week.
Oh, that's going to be tough. We got to start talking about maybe thinking about the division and whether the Eagles are still the favorites in that division. Coming up, can anyone slow down Tom Brady and the Patriots' offense? That's next on First Things First, because it wasn't Miami. They didn't slow down.
No.
excited for what's ahead. You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 World's Most Ethical Companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting, that's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for your future or visit www.pacificlife.com. Welcome back. We'll get to Ben Roethlisberger's injury update in a second, but first, Monday Night Football, Browns, Jets, Le'Veon Bell catching a short pass, makes one guy miss, hurdles over another for a 17-yard gain.
Jenna, I know you left that game saying, okay, we talked about L. Bell a lot last year, but he's nice with it. He's a good football player.
Man, he was the only weapon they had.
The only one.
And he still found a way to give you 120 yards from scrimmage in a game where no one could do anything for the Jets.
All right, well, this guy did something for the Browns. OBJ pulling a sensational one-handed catch with Jets defenders all over him.
He's got amazing hands. He practices it all the time, spends a lot of time at it. He works on his overall hand strength. He just does that Jerry Rice drill with the bricks and everything. Remember we had it on the show, the video. Tremendous wide receiver. Ready to have a really good season. His body's feeling good. And with Baker Mayfield, the way he can throw the ball, Nick, they should continue to be special.
Hang on. Catch Odell
him.
Wasn't done.
Catch
Fourth
him.
Quarter turns a 9-yard pass into an 89-yard touchdown. Reached speeds up to 21.7 miles an hour on this play.
Oh, yeah. He's a little injured. The free safety was the only one on the field. But Odell took away the angle. That's the reason why he cut back on
him.
He wasn't going to get into a foot race because watch, the safety has the angle on him.
And then,
let me eat that angle
up. And
the
safety can't change directions quickly enough. Got no shot.
No, he can't flip his hips.
Greg Williams likes having those safeties line up 18 to 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And this is what it's trying to prevent. But when you have an athlete like Odell, you're drawn dead with that much open space in front of him.
All right, moving on. So the worst-case scenario has officially unfolded for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger will have surgery on his right elbow and will miss the remainder of the season. Ben released a statement saying, "This is shocking and heartbreaking for me to miss this much of a season and feel like I'm letting down so many people. I can only trust God's plan, but I'm completely determined to battle through this challenge and come back stronger than ever next season. The Steelers committed 3 years to me this offseason, and I fully intend to honor my contract and reward them with championship-level play. I feel in my heart I have a lot left to give." All right, Nick, what does the future hold for Big Ben? Have we seen the last of him in Pittsburgh?
I don't think we've seen the last of him in Pittsburgh. I take him at his word that he's going to try to come back and honor his contract, and the Steelers then will honor the 30-ish million per year they owe him going forward over the next two seasons after this year on that contract. I do think that when Big Ben's done playing, we will say the last playoff game Ben Roethlisberger ever played in was that shocking home defeat to the Jacksonville Jaguars after the Steelers' 13-3 season in 2017. I think that while Ben is planning on coming back, the team he comes back to is going to be one of the least talented teams he's ever played for, just like the team he's on right now is one of the least talented teams he's ever played for. Big Ben will be age 38. He turns 38 in March. Only 17 quarterbacks in league history have even started a season at that age or older. And I think you were seeing already, admittedly very early parts of the season, a deterioration in his play that you would not expect to all of a sudden jump in the other direction after an injury. And lastly, Big Ben is not Tom Brady and he is not Drew Brees when it comes to health, nutrition, working out.
You could throw Eli and probably Phillip Rivers in there too, who both take care of
absolutely
themselves.
And now Big Ben has had a playing weight that has fit his playing style. He's a rugged quarterback. He takes hits. He shakes off hits. He's a warrior in the pocket, all those things. But a guy like that that's going to now be away from football longer than he's been at any point in his life, a guy who 2 years ago, 2 years ago was contemplating retirement. The idea that he's going to attack this rehabilitation with the vigor he would have at 25, I don't see it. And so it's devastating for the Steelers. He's saying all the right things, but I think the best days of Big Ben are behind him. And I think the Steelers as a Super Bowl contender with Big Ben as their quarterback, the book got closed on that midway through the second quarter.
But you do think he's coming back to rejoin the team?
Oh, I don't think he's going to retire. I believe in that he's going to play again. I just don't think the team's going to be good enough or he's going to be good enough.
Yeah, I disagree with you. And it's impossible to get to where Ben is in his football career and everything that he's been through. Remember he was in that bad motorcycle accident?
Yep.
And I've seen Ben play hurt so much. So to me, you know, what you're saying about the other quarterbacks and everything is true. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers, Eli. These guys are in tremendous shape. But none of those guys are the athlete Ben Roethlisberger is. None of them have the talent Ben Roethlisberger does. If you ask all of them, and they were telling the truth, Tom Brady, hey, man, would you rather take Ben Roethlisberger's tools? And Tom's won a lot in everything. He'd been like, yes, his physical skills, as big as he is, as nimble as he is in the pocket, he can throw a ball any type of way you want to. We talk about Patty Mahomes varying the speed. Tell me what Ben Roethlisberger can't do. Throw it to the flat, throw it across the middle, intermediate, put some loft on it, bomb someone deep down the middle. He can make every type of throw. He's been in every type of game, and the guy's got heart. You don't get to where he is and play the way he's played unless you have a big heart. And this will be one of the biggest challenges of his career. And it's not about being in shape. He don't have to go out and take over this whole new regiment, all of a sudden become a vegan and everything. Hey, Cam Newton went out. Cam's in great shape. Cam can't throw the ball, so the nutrition part don't have nothing to do with throwing the ball. And that's all we want Ben to do, unless you think he's going to come back doing the read option or something. But I believe that Ben Roethlisberger will respond to this. Yes, he did talk about retirement a couple years ago, but obviously he made a recommitment to football. And the Pittsburgh organization, it's hard for me to believe over the next 3 years they won't be in the playoffs. If they get their defense fixed, they'll be back in the playoffs. Their wide receiver coach, Gray Sherman, he'll get those guys fixed. If they give him 1 year in free agency, there's a bunch of veteran players that know Ray Sherman, know his reputation. They'll come there and play in Pittsburgh for less money. It's not Tommy John surgery. I believe Ben bounces back because all that fitness and everything, it doesn't matter when you have the type of skill set. And it speaks to what type of talent that Ben does. You would have to go down a whole bunch of quarterbacks, the ones that are older, until you get to Aaron Rodgers and say, who has more talent than Ben Roethlisberger?
Right.
None of those other guys do. The only one's got more arm talent is Aaron Rodgers.
What about the state of the team? Do you think where the team is will affect whether he comes back or how quickly he comes back?
Well, I think we can I'm almost ready to just put aside the idea that he won't come back. I don't think you release that statement and have the contract that he just signed and
so
the dollars.
So it doesn't affect him at all? They could have an atrocious season.
Well, I think because if they have an atrocious season, I think it will be attributed, even if it's unfair, simply to him not being there.
Right.
Now, I you guys know I was skeptical on them even with him. But now, if they go 5-11, people will say, I think a lot of people will say, well, yeah, of course. I mean, you lost your starting quarterback. What do you expect? You lost a quarterback who's been there. They've never had a losing record the entire time he's been the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. The only losing record the Steelers have had this century was the year before he got there, which allowed them to draft him in the middle of the first round, 14th pick, mm-hmm. whatever it was, 11th pick out of Miami, Ohio. So, no, I don't think he's coming back. I believe him on that. Now, are they going to have the same GM? Are they going to have the same coach? What type of team are they going to have? We know they're not going to have a first-round pick this year because of the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade. Instead, they're going to have him replacing the first-round pick, which will go to your point about upgrading the defense, second-year player out of Alabama. But, no, I believe he's coming back. I just don't think this team has enough talent to offset a coming off injury deteriorated Ben Roethlisberger. Chris obviously disagrees.
Yeah, well, what team could recover from losing three superstars in less than 2 years? L. Bell, free agency, gone. A.B. shot himself out, yelled himself out of the building. Ben Roethlisberger hurt. when they start looking to their short future, Ben Roethlisberger is going to be a part of that. All right. They will get their defense fixed. If they get their defense fixed, that is the key, because then coming back, you don't have to put all that pressure on Ben to throw for 5,000. When Ben comes back, though, I can guarantee you're going to throw for 4,000 yards next year. They will get other wide receivers. Dante Moncrief, as I told people, I'm glad Twitter found out, but I've been telling them since the preseason, he is not the answer. He is not a number two receiver. Don't make him a bad person, but he is not the answer opposite of James Washington and Juju Smith-Schuster. So I do believe Ben will come back, and I don't believe that the nutrition and all those things have anything to do with the heart. And when it's a guy decides that he wants to be able to do something, he doesn't have to change much of his regimen. All he's got to do is listen to his physical therapist. All right? Ben Roethlisberger is one quarterback in the offseason. When he takes his cleats off, a lot of times he used to tell other quarterbacks, first time he's putting them back on is when they go to training camp. It's because he is that gifted. People might say, oh, he's lazy. We have had people in sports like that. We got Koepka, the golfer. He don't practice a whole bunch right now. He's dominating the PGA Tour. The guy's gifted. You might not like it. You might not be your cup of tea. Jenna, of course, you know, the eating regimen and all that. Would he be better? Yes, he would. But he doesn't have to, and it just speaks of how talented he is.
All right, the big news this morning, Ben Roethlisberger is done for the season. Steelers are 0-2, so we shall see what lies ahead for the organization.
Hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Altura's COO Dylan Miskowitz needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants, so he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job, so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ziprecruiter.com/approach. That's ziprecruiter.com/approach. ZipRecruiter.com/approach. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Back here with Coach Mangini, we're talking Patriots now. They're placing starting left tackle Isaiah Wynn on IR with a foot injury that he suffered back in week 2. This will sideline Tom Brady's blindside protector for at least 8 weeks. Keep in mind, Wynn spent all of last season on IR as well with a torn Achilles. All right, Coach, with all the problems on the O-line, will all that finally catch up to the Patriots?
Well, it's going to be hard. And the one thing, the shining star for the Jets this past week was the defense, in the sense that they were able to disguise coverages. They were able to bring a lot of different pressure looks. Mm-hmm. They were able to generate some things against Cleveland when the offense really couldn't do much of anything. So they'll be issues from a protection standpoint that'll be created in this game. Could it catch up to them? Yeah, but you look at this past week. So they lose Nate Solder, and then they lose Trent Brown, and then they have Isaiah Wynn, and then they sign Marshall Newhouse 4 days before the game. He starts at right tackle, but then he has to move it to left tackle. And Corey Cunningham, who they traded for at the end of preseason, comes in at right tackle. And David Andrews, the starting center, he's got to be replaced. So you're talking about the three critical positions on the O-line are all
tackles in the center.
Both tackles in the center are all changed out. And the one guy that's playing a significant amount was signed 3 days earlier. And then the week before, you had Antonio Brown and all the issues that he brought in and all the potential distractions. But it's not really that big a deal, right? We barely talk about it. The AB conversation versus when he was in Oakland versus New England has now gone from up here at the top of the mountain to much lower, and you move on. I remember playing a game defensively there where we had a street free agent who had to start at corner. We had just gotten him. Troy Brown, a wide receiver, he was playing slot. Mm-hmm. We had Don Davis, a linebacker. He had to move to safety. And then I think Larry Izzo, a core special teamer, he had to come in and start an inside linebacker, and we ended up winning the game. Because all those guys came in, and they did exactly what we asked them to do, and they played within the context of the game, and the whole team played within the game plan to win the game, and collectively, as a group, we were able to overcome our shortcomings because everybody pulled a little bit harder and did exactly what we asked them to do.
So I appreciate that, and I understand that, and I do wonder how much of last week was the Patriot way and how much of last week was playing the Dolphins and how much of it is a combination of the two. This week they have the Jets, and that's why you mentioned the Jets' success against the Browns. I don't know if people knew they had the Jets this week. But next week they are in Buffalo. And if Buffalo has a strength of their team right now as they're 2-0, it would be their defensive front. It would be their front seven in particular and their ability to get after the quarterback. And I am wondering how many injuries become too many injuries on one unit of your football team. It's not we've lost a safety, we've lost a guard, we've lost a running back. It's not a long list of injuries, but diversified along your team. It is your center's out for the year, your right tackle missed week two, as you mentioned, Marcus Cannon, and now your left tackle, who is your third different left tackle in 3 years, he now is out for at least the next 10 weeks, or 8 to 10 weeks. So at what point do you reach the breaking point on the Patriots offensive line? No matter how well they're coached, no matter how good their culture is, I fear for New England, you have to be starting to come close to it, to where you are at replacement level players at 3 of your 5 offensive line spots.
Yeah, but they're the only team that can handle it. And the reason why is because they're going to do, the reason why I trust them is because they're going to have an all hands on deck. If their pass protection gets a little leaky, you know what they're going to do? Max protect. They'll bring in a tight end, bring in a fullback, block it up. Imagine Josh Gordon and A.B. on the same side of the field. So if you want to bring me pressure, no problem. I'm going to block them with 8. I might even have Edelman chipping on the edge and then leaking out being the safety valve. But I can block 7 of them, and Tom Brady's going to get rid of the football. That's the reason why you're not going to exploit it. If it was any other team in the league, would I trust them going forward? No, because they don't have the overall football knowledge, and they're not the teachers that New England are, and their quarterback is going to hold on to the football. Aaron Rodgers, when they have O-line problems, what does he do? Instead of getting rid of the ball quicker, what does he do? He holds the ball even more. So Tom Brady and the football intel that they have will be able to correct this. At some point, is there going to be a defensive front to be able to give them some problems? Yes. But if you sit there and think you're going to rush 4 people and get to Tom Brady, no. Their routes will pick you apart. They'll sit in zone, and he'll get the ball to them. If you try to blitz them, they'll max it up. They'll have enough running attack to be able to balance it off that you can't tee off on them. But it's something that they will bring attention to more so than any other part of the field. I mean, any other part of the team. And my last thing in closing is, football is based on 3 phases. And before we go out on the field, the coach tells us, we need to win 2 phases of this game to be able to win it. Who going to beat them at special teams, and who going to beat their defense, which I believe is going to be a top 5 defense? So they already got 2/3 of the game won. So even if their offense gets real conservative and we'll just punt, they still got a great probability to be able to win the game, because they know if we go into the game with this game plan, everyone that's out there is going to accept that game plan. So when you have that acceptance, coach, it's a lot easier to get the type of performance that you're looking for.
It's that, and there's going to be a toolbox. There's going to be a list of things that if this happens, what are we going to do? So it could be wide receiver screen, regular screen, quick passing game, so a little bit of mixer, no huddle, to change up tempo, cadence, bring an extra offensive lineman in, let him play tight end and let him help chip. Yep. Use the tight end to chip. Use the backs to chip. Keep changing it up so that all those things that you think you're going to exploit, now let's put the pressure back on them. Let's put I watched the Denver game the other day, and I felt so bad for that left tackle who had 5 holding penalties. And at some point you're thinking, you might want to give him some help. Like, bring somebody over there. Take a little bit of pressure off this guy. But if you just sit there and say, well, you got to play better. You got to do better. You're on your own.
Okay, if it's not your left tackle and it's not your center, if it's not Gronk, and may not even be Tom Brady, is there a player the Patriots can lose and still be okay?
Well, you can't lose Tom Brady.
Well,
okay, so Brady, but Brady's the only one. Brady's the only guy that if we came out today and said this player just got placed on IR, that we'd be on high alert. Is Brady the only one on the roster?
Yes.
Stephon Gilmore? Dante Hightower?
Nope.
None of them?
Nope.
Brady.
Okay.
Brady.
He's the only player.
Well, then Bill somehow.
Thank you.
Brady. Yes.
Bill gets mono, I'm concerned.
Yeah, and then, you know, Josh McDaniels would be my next one, probably followed by Dante Stonecchio.
All right, moving on to Jalen Ramsey. He wants out of Jacksonville. Unfortunately for him, he will be playing against the Titans tonight for Jacksonville in Jacksonville. The Jags All-Pro cornerback has requested a trade but will be active again, with the trade seemingly coming sometime after the game. So, CeCe, which contender should try to acquire Jalen Ramsey?
Well, I don't mean it doesn't have to be a contender for me. Right now, we only played two games. Everyone's a contender. The Giants, they think we make a quarterback switch. We right back into this. But I think there are certain places that would be better for him. I think the Raiders, John Gruden, they got the cap space. They got a really young team. They could use a corner play. They could also use a star going to Las Vegas. The Tennessee Titans, I do believe Coach Coombs, he was a legendary high school coach, coached at Ohio State. He only coached in Ohio until last year where he took the job in Tennessee. Vrabel, who has experience at Ohio State, went there and got him. He is a great defensive back coach in his hometown there with the Titans. So the Raiders are the Titans, I feel, are the smoothest transitions for him, for a guy that has that type of skill set. Big corner, wants to play a lot of man-to-man, and as we said before, he's from Tennessee and wants to go back there. And anytime, if you can get a big-time star like that in a smaller market like Tennessee, I think that they should look into that.
Particularly when he's listed the Titans previously before the season as a place he'd like to play. Sometimes you worry a big-time star, would he be happy going to a small market? The size of the market in Jacksonville is not why he's unhappy. And because of his roots in Tennessee, he has already said Nashville would be a place he wants to go.
And he's already proven that he can get national attention no matter
what. No matter what. I mean, he's one of the star players in the league and one of the faces of the league that we have on the defensive side of the ball. One team you mentioned yesterday, before I give a couple others, that I thought really interesting was Philly. Philly obviously is a contender. Philly, that is the place where they need, I would argue, help the most is on the back end of their defense, particularly the corners, because I like Malcolm Jenkins. I understand we're talking about Philly's injuries. They didn't deal with the spate of season-ending injuries. For Philadelphia, with how active Howie Roseman has been, how great he's been at almost manipulating the cap to free up space when they need it, you had mentioned Philly yesterday. That, to me, is a really interesting fit and would be something that if you're the Dallas Cowboys and you see, wait, the Eagles got who? The Eagles got Jalen Ramsey at the deadline, or not even at the deadline, a month into the season. That could be a game changer. I'm going to mention a team no one's attaching them to, but I think they have the space, they have the picks, they have the need. What about the Los Angeles Chargers? Now, maybe they don't want to pay Jalen Ramsey. They're going to have to pay Joey Bosa, two guys, but they have the cap space to do it. They are right now, they know that last year they were this close to being the number one seed in the AFC. Derwin James is going to come back at some point at the end of the season. They already have an extraordinary corner in Casey Hayward, but they're starting a guy who was an undrafted free agent a couple years ago at their other corner spot. If you had Casey Hayward, Jalen Ramsey, when Derwin James comes back, that immediately becomes far and away the best secondary in the NFL.
Well, for one, next year they got to pay Joey Bosa. Casey's already making a bunch of money. Derwin James, you already know you're going to have to pay him. Now, both of those guys being from Florida State, sometimes you think that, oh, well, maybe that would work. Well, maybe that might not work. So I don't know. They haven't been the most contract friendly to their player. Right. Phillip Rivers doesn't have a contract. So to me, that's a lot of money that a team that is not customary to paying a lot of money, I don't think they would have that kind of money tied up in their secondary.
Just two more teams quickly. Obviously, yesterday we talked a lot about the Chiefs. It's for the Chiefs, it's the best player available at the biggest position of need. But I do think the Chiefs would have real cap issues with that. Patrick Mahomes going to become the highest paid player ever a year from now. They paid Tyreek Hill. They paid Frank Clark maybe above market. They Sammy Watkins, they can get off him next year if they want to, but he's playing really well this year. adding the highest paid corner in NFL history, which is what Jalen's going to become, would be tough. Keep an eye on the Colts, though. Colts, I mean, the Colts have enormous cap space, the draft capital. They're obviously going to try to win without being a super explosive offense. The Colts are, if I'm Chris Ballard with Indy, I am calling Jacksonville and trying to take their temperature on that.
But he plays his last game tonight for the Jaguars, most likely.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that would be my guess, yes.
All right, let's move
if
on.
If not,
to
you're going to need about
now.
Eight players to, get, to keep break them up.
Doug Marone.
All right, just to recap, Eli is out. Daniel Jones is in as starting quarterback for the New York Giants, and his first test will be this Sunday on the road against the Bucs. Who better to learn from than 16-year vet Eli Manning? And get this, the Giants' two-time Super Bowl champ reportedly stayed at the facility after being told he was demoted to help prep the new quarterback. And though Eli is taking his new role as mentor in stride, it hasn't been easy.
Obviously disappointed, not happy about it, but you know, you accept it and make the best of it.
Eli has been nothing but you know, nothing but helpful and you know, welcoming to me, and I think you know, obviously now the roles are you know, different and you know, there'll be you know, some differences there, but I think largely you know, our relationship and you know, how we communicate will be the same.
Is this the end of Eli Manning, or just another phase?
Who knows? So, you know, and it's, again, I'm not dying, and the season's not over. So there's a lot to be positive about, a lot to be grateful for, and you know, and so I just gotta, you know, kind of accept my new role and make the best of it.
So clearly everyone is saying the right thing. Everyone is doing the right thing. I mean, Eli going above and beyond by actually staying late in practice and mentoring Daniel a little bit. But how hard do you think, Nick, this will be for Eli to take on this new role now as mentor when you know what he's been for the last 15, 16
years?
Well,
listen, I would imagine it's incredibly difficult, but it's not like this should come as a shock to the system for him. And I would disagree with you a little bit in that Eli going above and beyond. When the Giants draft a quarterback at number 6, and don't ask you to take a pay cut when they easily could have, when you're still making your $22 million this year, when it could have been zero this year. Part of the job this year for Eli was going to be eventually doing this. Now, everyone expected Eli to do it as a gentleman and with grace, as he
so
appears to be. I mean, and that is a testament to why Eli Manning, as an individual, forget him as a player, is one of the most respected people in the league. Nobody has a bad word to say about who Eli Manning has been as a Giant in the facility for the organization at any point in his career. I don't know what it feels like as a player to be demoted, but I would imagine in any walk of life, if you see something coming, and Eli had to see this coming at some point, you would hope you've done some mental preparation for when the day does arrive. And so Eli maybe thought that he would be able to stave it off a few more weeks than he did, but he knew at some point this year he was losing his job and he was going to transition from starting quarterback the New York Giants to mentor for the future quarterback the New York Giants.
Did you just say that Eli should have been practicing getting benched, no, what he was going to do?
No, I said you mentally prepare yourself. Of course. If you're married and your spouse moves out and says, I think we should do a trial separation,
okay, well,
you should
be... That day when it happens, that, I don't all the mental prep in the world
of,
is going to...
No, of course. But if that happens, then you should be mentally preparing for the divorce papers to be filed. And even when those papers are filed, maybe it's devastating, but you have been mentally preparing.
When you play as well as Eli, and you're a superstar in this league, you're an accomplished player, you don't think someone's going to take your job. When they draft him, it's like, man, I'm getting ready to play. Eli thought just like Don, I'm getting ready to play another couple years. So there is no preparation. When I took Anthony Carter's spot and took all his shining, he didn't mentor me. He didn't stay after practice either, Jenna. So you're right. That ain't Eli's job to stay after practice. Nick is wrong in that. That is extra. That's because Eli is a special human being. All around the National Football League, when guys lose their job, we don't hear that soundbite. You know something? He stayed after work. You know something? A lot of times, they storm off. Oh, he left practice today after getting benched. So yesterday, I would say easily, is one of the five worst days in Eli Manning's career. It's gut-wrenching because you come in there, you still have to face the media, and the roles have totally flopped. And your ability. You didn't lose your ability overnight. This guy didn't beat him out. Like, Eli didn't even have a chance this year. If you look at that, what they did in two games, didn't depend on Barkley. What did Eli do to lose his job? And what did Daniel Jones do? The coach said, I had a gut feeling. Yeah, your gut is when you draft a guy in the top 10, your gut is he's going to play this year. So they decided to do after week one or two. It's not a matter, is that right? But what Eli went through yesterday is not a normal day. All right? I've gotten benched and I've gotten divorced and they're not the same.
Well,
they not the same.
Okay, fair enough. Maybe it was an awkward analogy, but the point that I'm making, and I will stand firm on this, is if Eli Manning was not mentally preparing for the day he loses his job, then he's foolish.
Well, I don't know anyone in the league, Nick, and I've been watching these guys get benched. No one was ready for it, even though you draft a guy. All right, when Denny Green brought me into his office and said, I'm getting ready to turn the leadership of this team over to Randy Moss and the Dante Culpepper. As much as I knew that was going to happen, there was nothing to get me ready for those words when it hit me that I had lost all my power.
Well, so maybe the moment, even if you have been ready for it to come or thinking you're ready for it to come, can be a shock to the system. But the quarterback position is obviously different than what happened with you and Anthony Carter, and obviously clearly way different than when they drafted Randy. Because after they drafted Randy, you didn't lose your job. You went on five more great years with the Vikings. When a team drafts a quarterback like you said, in the top 10, you know he's going to play. I'm not saying that wasn't a devastating moment for Eli, that he didn't think I deserved a few more weeks, even right. If this should have happened a couple years ago instead of a couple weeks later.
Let's just do this, though.
Mm-hmm.
The morning Eli got up when the Patriots were undefeated, mm-hmm. he went on TV. I was on a network. I had one of my colleagues say, this is the greatest football team that's ever been assembled. Best team I've ever seen, and today they mark their day. They go undefeated and will go down in history. Eli sat in his hotel room and listened to all that and went out there and slayed that dragon. That's the same guy that got benched now. So we have to appropriate some of the things that he's been able to accomplish with, wow, that must have been it's bigger than you can imagine. All right. I don't expect people to understand. I don't expect people to be like, you know something? To Eli should have done this and that. It's a rare, rare opportunity. I can guarantee you guys this. I guarantee you Fox couldn't bring nobody in here for y'all to mentor. Hey, I want y'all to sit on the side and make them better. Why y'all know y'all sitting over there and you know you're better than them. What's wrong with that?
No, because to me it is not even apples to oranges. It's apples to bowling balls. If to use your analogy, if we did this show for 15 years and 5 years ago we were at the peak, we were the best in the world, and each of the next 5 years, each year after that, it got worse and it got worse and it got worse, and then Fox said, hey,
you guys wouldn't think it's you though.
Okay, well, whether we would or we wouldn't, if Fox then said, hey, there's this young hotshot broadcaster we love, you're gonna split reps with him, he's gonna be on the show a lot, if I didn't have in my head in that moment, okay, this guy's brought on here to replace me, it doesn't mean the moment that I get the pink slip isn't devastating, but if I haven't prepared for that mentally, I haven't been doing myself a disservice. And as far as a lot of guys do storm out of the building, you're right, but one of the reasons the Giants decided to show, I would say, extra loyalty to Eli and not ask him to take a pay cut and not cut him this offseason is because they had faith that when this day came, he would act like
they just
Eli
lied
Manning.
To him 2 weeks ago. The owner said, it'd be a great year if he played the whole year. Daniel Jones didn't play. So they just kept lying to him. If they said this was a fair competition, when did he win the job? When?
I agree with you on that point. Of course, but if we knew that.
No. And see, so if it's not right, then it's not going to sit with you. If Eli had four games where he stunk it up, he could be like, you know something? I mean, it is time for me to move on. But when they move on to you after 2 weeks, like, it's just not fair. And even though you might not know, when it's not fair, it's not fair. And what Eli did yesterday was above the call. That's the reason why he's got that captain. That's the reason why he's got that Walter Payton. It's not because he just chose to one day, I'm just going to be a nice guy. This is who Eli Manning is. I've been saying it for a long time. And that is part of the reason why the Giants did give him grace, because he's been a class act. And yesterday, when it was the most difficult, I would argue the most difficult day of his career, he showed nothing but class. That's all I'm trying to the magnitude of what he went through yesterday when you lose your job to someone who does not have more ability than you. That's what I'm representing here today.
All right, let's leave it there. Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.